بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 41st hadith of Al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. And of course, this compilation, it is called the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. But as you know, the book contains 42 hadith. So the 41st hadith, the author said, عن أبي محمد عبد الله ابن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. حديث حسن صحيح. This hadith was collected by Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none of you truly believes until his desires are in accordance to that which I have come with. And Al-Imam al-Nawawi said this hadith is Hasanun Sahih. So with regards to the narrator of the hadith, he is the virtuous companion Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, and he was Qurashi, from the Quraysh, from the Muhajirun, and he is Sahabi ibn Sahabi, a companion, the son of a companion. So his father Amr ibn al-As was also a virtuous companion, and the ulama say that between the son and the father was only 12 years. And his name, Abdullah, before Islam, his name was Al-As. Meaning his name was Al-As ibn Amr ibn Al-As. And the meaning of Asin is somebody who is disobedient. And the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that he would change the names which are incorrect or have a bad meaning to a name which has a good meaning. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he changed his name Al-As to Abdullah. And this companion, he accepted Islam before his father. So he was earlier to Islam than his own father. And 7th Hijri, he made Hijrah to Al-Madina. And this virtuous companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Al-As radiallahu anhuma, he's known for one thing above anything else. And that is that he was the only companion who used to write the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So generally speaking, during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions were forbidden from writing the hadith. They were only allowed to write the Qur'an, those who could write. Of course, the asal with regards to the Qur'an was the memorization. So the Qur'an was protected and preserved, not by writing, but in the chests and the hearts of the righteous men and the righteous women. However, some amongst the companions, they would write some of the ayat. Maybe on whatever material they had, they would write the Quran. As for the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions were generally forbidden from writing them down, and this was due to two reasons. The first reason is so that greater importance is attached to the Quran, because this is the statement of Allah subhanahu. And the second reason is so there is no confusion between the Qur'an and the Sunnah, i.e. between the statements of Allah, the speech of Allah, and the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for this reason, the Prophet used to allow the people to write the Quran, but he used to forbid them from writing down the hadith. And the exception to this was this companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He was one of the companions, and he was unique in this, that he was given permission to write down the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is mentioned that he had with him a sahifa, i.e. a record of the hadith which he had written from the Prophet. And they numbered 700 statements. And he sought permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, aktubu ma asma'u fi rida wal ghadab. He said, O Messenger of Allah, should I write whatever I hear from you when you are pleased and also in moments of anger? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Na'am, fa inni la aqulu illa haqq. He said, yes, write everything I say, because I only speak the truth. And once the fear of the Quran and the statements of the Prophet being confused, once that was removed and the Quran was preserved, then the companions, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they began to write and compile. And then the scholars of hadith came later, and technology spread in terms of writing, and then the books of hadith, it became popular. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he praised Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. He said, ما كان أحد أحفظ لحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مني. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, there was nobody amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had memorized more hadith than me, except that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As كان يكتب وأنا لا أكتب. Except that Abdullah, he would write down the hadith and I would not write. And remember, the Sahaba at that time, the society was not a society of writing. Rather, at that time, the Quraysh and the Arab society, their tradition in terms of knowledge was verbal. So poetry was memorized, and the Quran was memorized, and the hadith were memorized. And the ulama came and they would narrate the hadith to each other verbally. The writing was restricted to only a few, because only a few people could read and write. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, because of his writing of the hadith, he became famous for his knowledge. But not only his knowledge, also his ibadah. And al-Dhahabi said in As-Sir, وَلَهُ مَنَاقِبْ وَفَضَائِلٍ, that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he has many virtues and merits. وَمَقَامٌ رَاسِخٌ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ, and he has a great status in terms of knowledge and action. And he, as I mentioned, he was known for his fasting, and he was known for his recitation of the Quran, and he was known for his qiyam. And there's a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet said to him, إِنَّكَ تَصُومُ النَّهَارُ وَلَا tuftir, that I have heard that you fast every single day and you do not break your fast. وَتُصَلِّيَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا tanam, and you pray at night and you do not sleep. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him, حَسْبُكَ أَن تَصُومَ مِن كُلِّ شَهْرٍ ثَلَاثٍ, it is enough for you to fast 3 days in every month. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he replied, فَإِنِّي أُطِيقُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have the ability and the energy to fast more than 3 days in a month. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised him. He said, حَسْبُكَ أَن تَصُومَ مِنْ كُلِّ جُمْعَةٍ يَوْمَيْنِ. He said, it is sufficient for you from every Jum'ah, meaning every week. This is from Uslub al-Arab. Every Jum'ah, meaning every week. So the Prophet said, it is sufficient for you from every week to fast two days. And then Abdullah said, Ya Rasulullah, inni utiqu akthara min dhalik. O Messenger of Allah, verily I have the ability and the energy to do more than this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him about the fasting of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, that he would fast one day and he would not fast the other day. And then this is what he permitted for Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. And also when it came to the recitation of the Qur'an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, وَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ تَجْمَعُ الْقُرْآنَ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. He said, I have heard that you recite the whole Qur'an in a single night. And so the Prophet advised him, and he said, وَإِنِّي أَخْشَى أَن يَطُولَ بِكَ الْعُمْرُ. He said, and I fear that one day you will become old. وَأَن تَمُلَّ قَرَاءَتَهُ. And then the recitation of the Qur'an becomes difficult for you. So he said, اِقْرَأْهُ فِي كُلِّ شَهْرٍ مَرَّةٍ. He said, so read the Qur'an once in a month, meaning in 1 month complete the recitation of the Qur'an. And if we want to do more than this, he said, اِقْرَأْهُ فِي كُلِّ عَشَرَةِ أَيَّامٍ مَرَّةٍ. If you want to do more, then complete the recitation of the Qur'an every 10 days. And if you want to do more, اِقْرَأْهُ كُلَّ ثَلَاثٍ مَرَّةٍ. Every 3 days complete the Qur'an. But don't do any more than this. Because a person who tries to recite the whole Qur'an in a single night, he may be able to recite it, whereas for a tadabbur and understanding its meanings and contemplating its meanings, then it is difficult. And for this reason, the most that a person should do is once every 3 days or once every 7 days. This was the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet said his famous words. He said, "Inni asumu wa aftir." Me, the Messenger of Allah, I fast some days and some days I do not fast. Wa usalli wa anam. And I pray some of the night and I sleep some of the night. Wa atazawwaju an-nisa. And I marry women. And then he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever exceeds or turns away from my sunnah, he is not from me. And then Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he became old. And when he became old, because of his excessive fasting and his excessive recitation of the Qur'an and not taking the allowance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give his body the right, he used to remember the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he became old and he became weak, then he used to say, Ya laytani qabiltu rukhsata rasulillah. He said, if only I accepted the allowance and the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he died 65 Hijri. And the ulama, they differed, where did he die and where was he buried? So some of them said that he died in Mecca, others said in At-Ta'if, and the strongest view is that he passed away in Egypt, and he was buried in Egypt. Because his father, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he was the one who conquered Misr. And so they say that his son was part of the army, and he died there and he buried there. He was buried there. Wallahu a'lam. As for this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you truly achieves iman, meaning the strength or the perfection of iman, حتى يكون هوا, until his هوا. And the meaning of هوا here is his decisions and his desires and his wants and his ideas are taba'an lima ji'tu bihi, are in accordance to that which I have come with, I, the Sharia of Al-Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he connected between the iman of a person and the strength or the perfection of the iman of a person to his actions and his statements and his desires and wants. That the sign of a person's iman is that his desires and his wants are in line with that which Allah and His Messenger are pleased with. And this hadith, it could be said regarding this hadith, like some of the ulama said, innahu kullul Islam. That this hadith, it summarizes Islam. Because it joins between a person's desires and a person's iman. So the person who desires what Allah and His Messenger came with, he is a mu'min. And a person who rejects what Allah and His Messenger came with completely, he is a kafir. And then between this are different levels. So the one who completely desires what Allah and His Messenger came with, he is the mu'min. And the one who completely turns away from that which Allah and His Messenger came with, he is a kafir. And then between these two stations are different ranks. So somebody, of course, may want and desire that which Allah and His Messenger came with, but then he sins. And his desires commit him into the wrong way. So we don't say regarding this person that he is a kafir, but his iman has become weak. So between iman and kufr, when a person is a mu'min, then there are different levels of iman according to his good deeds and his sins. The author, Al-Hafidh Al-Imam Al-Nawawi Rahimullah, he said, Hadithun Hasanun Sahih. Meaning he considered this hadith to be authentic. However, the authenticity of this hadith has been differed over. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, in Jamil Ulum Wal-Hikam, he mentioned that this hadith, it is weak. And he mentioned that the reason it is weak is due to a narrator whose name is Nu'aym Ibn Hammad Al-Marwazi. And this narrator, some of the scholars of hadith considered to be trustworthy in writing a hadith, however he wasn't so. And he said tasheehu hadha al-hadith ba'idun jiddan min wujuh, that this hadith being authentic, this isn't correct from a number of angles. He said wa annahu hadithun yatafarrada bihi Nu'aym ibn Hammad al-Marwazi, because this hadith has been solely narrated by this person Nu'aym ibn Hammad al-Marwazi. And this person, he was a person of the sunnah and diligent upon the sunnah and against bid'ah and harsh against the people of innovation. And for this reason, the ulama of his time, they had a good opinion of him. But when it came to the narrating of the hadith, then sometimes he would mix up or become forgetful in the narration of the hadith. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab, he mentioned this. He said, فَإِنَّ أَئِمَّةَ الْحَدِيثِ كَانُوا يُحْسِنُونَ بِهِ الظَّنِّ, that the scholars of hadith at that time, they used to have a good opinion regarding him. لِصَلَابَتِهِ فِي السُّنَّةِ, because of his diligence upon the sunnah. وَتَشَدُّدُهِ فِي الرَّدْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَىٰ, and how harsh he was against the people of desires. وَكَانُوا يَنْسُبُونَهُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يُهِمُ. However, some of them, they consider that he became mixed up when he used to narrate the hadith. وَيُشَبَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي بَعْضِ الْحَدِيثِ, and sometimes he would become confused when it came to narrating the hadith. فَلَمَّا كَثُرَ عُثُورُهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَنَاكِرِهِ حَكَمُوا عَلَيْهِ بِالضَّعْفِ, and when the criticisms of the ulama upon him became abundant, then they considered him to be weak when it came to hadith. However, the meaning of the hadith, without any doubt, it is authentic. And this is why Al-Hafidh said, وَأَمَّا مَعْنَى الْحَدِيثِ, as for the meaning of the hadith, then this is correct. فَهُوَ, and it is, أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنًا, that a person cannot be a mu'min, كَامِلَ الْإِيمَانَ الْوَاجِبِ, with the perfection of iman, حَتَّى تَكُونَ مَحَبَّتُهُ تَابِعَةً لِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وسلم, until his love and his feelings and his desires are following that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, min al-awamir wal nawahi, his commandments and his prohibitions. Fayuhibbu ma amara bihi, so the mu'min has to love that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. Wa yakrahu ma naha anhu, and he has to hate that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hated and forbade from. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration, he connected iman to following what the Prophet came with. He said, "La yu'minu ahadukum," none of you truly has iman, meaning perfect iman, strong iman, until his desires and his wants and his thoughts and his feelings, تَبْعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ, are following that which I have come with. And this is because a believer who has strong iman in Allah as his Lord and in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his prophet and in Islam as his religion, if this iman is strong, then this iman causes him to follow the sharia. So that which is halal he does and he loves, and that which is haram he stays away from and he hates. And this is the meaning of the hadith. And there are many ayat in the Quran which have this meaning. Allah said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah said, no, verily by your Lord they will not achieve iman until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judge in the matters of dispute. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. And then when you make a judgment, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they find no difficulty in their hearts in accepting this. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they submit to your judgment. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. It isn't correct for the believing man and the believing woman. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. That when Allah and His Messenger, when they decree a matter, أَنْ يَنْكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةِ فِي مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that then they feel that they have a choice in the matter. And Allah spoke about those people who hate what Allah has revealed. Allah said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah said, and this is because they hated that which Allah revealed. So Allah caused their actions to be invalidated. And Allah said in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهِ وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ. And this is because they followed that which angered Allah, and they hated that which pleased Allah. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So Allah caused their actions to be invalid. And many other ayat like this. So all of these ayat show that the believer, the person of iman, he has to love that which Allah loves and His Messenger loves. And he has to hate that which Allah hates and His Messenger hated. And then this love, this mahabba, it causes a person to follow what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. And the Prophet said, لا يؤمن أحدكم, none of you truly believes, حتى أكون أحب إلي, until I am more beloved to him من نفسه وولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Until I am more beloved to him than his own self and his own father and his own children and all of the people. So this is the believer. And this mahabba, this love of the Messenger of Allah, and this love of Allah and this love of Islam, many people claim it. Many people say, we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if the actions of a person don't confirm this love which is in the heart, then this claim is false. And this is why Allah said in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly love Allah, follow me. Meaning follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then Allah will love you. And the ulama, they call this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, they said this is ayatul imtihan. This is the ayah which is a test. Surah Ali Imran, I think ayah number 33. They said this ayah, it is the ayah which is a test. Because people came and they claimed to love Allah. And so Allah revealed this ayah, that if you claim to love Allah, then follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah will love you. And Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he has a beautiful tafsir of this ayah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. He said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ حَاكِمَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مَنِ ادَّعَى مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ. That this noble ayah, this is a judge upon every person who claims to love Allah. وَلَيْسَ عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ الْمُحَمَّدِ. And this person who claims to love Allah but doesn't follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, This ayah says, أَنَّهُ كَاذِبٌ فِي مَا دَعَى, that this person is lying in that which he has claimed. So the principle which we have with us is المحبه تقتضي المتابعه, that love, it necessitates following. If you love somebody, you follow that person. So if you love Allah and you love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you have to follow them. And this is why the love of Allah can never be attained through shirkiyat, actions of shirk. And the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot be acquired through actions which are bid'ah. It's impossible. Rather, the love of Allah is through at-tawheed, and the love of the Messenger is through following the sunnah, not through actions of innovations, whatever a person claims. And Ibn Rajab rahimullah, he has beautiful speech in the explanation of this hadith, and refer back to Jami al-Ulum wal-Hikam. And he said, and I summarize, he said, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ مَحَبَّةً صَادِقَةً مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, whoever loves Allah and His Messenger with a truthful love from his heart, أَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ, then this obligates upon him, أَنْ يُحِبَّ بِقَلْبِهِ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, that he also loves in his heart that which Allah and His Messenger love. وَيَكْرَهُ مَا يَكْرَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and he hates that which Allah and His Messenger hates. وَيَرْضَى مَا يَرْضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and he's happy with that which pleases Allah and His Messenger. وَيَسْخَطُ مَا يَسْخَطُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and he's angered by that which angers Allah and His Messenger. وَأَنْ يَعْمَلْ بِجَوَارِحِهِ, and that he does the actions with his limbs. بِمُقْتَضَى هَذَا الْحُبْ, according to this love. فَإِنْ عَمِلَ بِجَوَارِحِهِ, but if he does with his actions شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ ذَلِكَ, something which goes against this love of Allah and His Messenger. And then he said later on, دَلَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى نَقْصِ الْمَحَبَّةِ, then this shows the weakness and the deficiency of the love of Allah and His Messenger. So those who love Allah and His Messenger, they have iman, they do righteous actions, they are upon a tawheed, they follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they stay away from sins, they stay away from innovations, and if they fall into sins, they make a tawbah. And every time a person innovates, does bid'ah, shirkiyat, sins, then this is an indicator of the weakness of the love of Allah and the Messenger in the heart of a person. Because we said the principle is al-mahabba taqtadi al-mutaba'a, that love in the heart, it necessitates following by way of actions. And the poet said, وَلَوْ قُلْتَ لِي مُتْ مُتْتُ سَمْعًا وَطَاعَةً وَقُلْتُ لِدَاعِيَ الْمَوْتِ أَهْلًا وَمَرْحَبًا, that if you said to me, die, I would die, hearing and obeying. And I would say to the one who is calling me to death, أَهْلًا وَمَرْحَبًا, meaning my love of Allah and His Messenger would be so much that if they said to me, die, I would die because of my love of them. And I think it was Ibn al-Qayyim or others who said, تَعْسِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ, that you disobey Allah and you claim His love. هَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ شَنِيعُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. And for this reason we find in the life of the Sahaba and the examples of the Sahaba, examples which show us their true love of Allah and His Messenger. That they loved Allah and His Messenger so much that when the command came for them to do something, they did. Without questions, without excuses, without hesitancy. And when the command came to stop, they would stop then and there. Without any excuse or hesitancy. For example, in the battle of Khaybar, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates, he said, أُصِبْنَا حُمُرًا, that on the Battle of Khaybar, we acquired some donkeys. And they started cooking the meat of the donkey. I remember at the time of the companions, meat was rare. It wasn't like that every day, every other day they ate meat. Very rare they would find meat. So when they found some meat, then this was something which was great for them. So they began cooking this meat. And then he said, فَنَادَ مُنَادِيَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And then a caller called out on behalf of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this caller said to the companions, he forbids you from لحوم الحمر. He forbids you from the meat of the donkey. فَإِنَّهَا رِجْسٌ. Because it is impure, it is haram. And the companions, as I mentioned, they were cooking the meat. And the fires had been lit. And Anas radiallahu anhu mentioned, they extinguished the fires. Then and there they extinguished the fires. And he even said, وَإِنَّهَا لَتَفُورُ بِاللَّحَمْ. That the dishes were all flowing with meat. And yet they extinguished the fires then and there. And nobody thought, well, okay, this is cooked now, we'll eat it, after today it'll be haram, or we don't want to waste the food, or and other excuses. No. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something, because of their true love of Allah and His Messenger, they stopped at the moment. And another example is when it came to the drinking of alcohol. And remember, even in Al-Madinah, the companions, they were still drinking alcohol. And this was a society which loved alcohol. And this is why Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in Sahih Bukhari, لو كان أول ما نزل من القرآن لا تشرب الخمر لكان الناس لقال الناس لا ندع الخمر أبدا. She said that if the first thing which was revealed from the Quran was do not drink alcohol, the people would have said that we will never leave alcohol. Because this was a people who loved alcohol and they were used to drinking alcohol. And for this reason, Allah didn't make alcohol haram in one go. Rather, as you know, it was done in stages. And then when the final command came to stop drinking alcohol, the companions didn't say, okay, that glass will drink this, or what we've got in our houses, we'll drink it, and then we will not drink it again. They said, at that instance, the streets of Medina became flowing with alcohol, because people were throwing their alcohol outside. And the streets were full of alcohol, because they had a true love of Allah and His Messenger. And therefore, when Allah and His Messenger said something, then they did this. So, al-mahabba taqtadi al-mutaba'a. Loving Allah and His Messenger, it necessitates that you follow on Allah and His Messenger. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.